And a warm welcome to everybody here on this cool morning. And no, I am not Brenda Lino. Brenda was double booked today, and so I agreed to cover the duty elder role for her. And my name is Bob Richardson, and I am one of the elders here at Burlington East. Would encourage any guests to sign the guest book in the Narthex, and to absolutely join us for fellowship afterwards downstairs in the Douglas Hall. Now, most of the announcements are in the bulletin, and I will leave them there for you to read. There's a couple of additional ones I just want to bring to your attention. For those of you that make submissions to the annual report, they are due in to Renata on Sunday, February the 4th, no later than. She will accept them early. She gets a little bit upset at the late. I may be late. And at fellowship today, you may remember from a couple of weeks ago, we're going to be finally opening up the Strathcona time capsule, which we were supposed to open up back in 2015, according to the top of the time capsule, but somehow that got missed. And we will be sealing up the first BEPT time capsule today. So please join us at fellowship for that. And with that, I'll turn over to Reverend McCann for one announcement.
For a number of months now, actually much longer than that, about a year, there's been a group that's been formed and was originally called the Churches on New Street. And when I first came here back in 2011, probably the second thing I did was I went around banging on church doors of the churches that are sort of in our area just to kind of introduce myself as being new to the community and meet some of the ministers, and I found a number of the churches were vacant. They were looking for ministers or had an interim minister in place. And the group has got together. Last year they got together and did what they're going to do this year, which is what this handout is in your bulletin. It involves five churches this year, and I will have a handout that you can stick on your fridge next week. But they decided, because we've expanded beyond just the Churches on New Street, to call it Christians on a Journey, and the group. And this group of churches, which involves the CRC and the Roman Catholic Church and the Lutheran Church and the United Church in our area, are spending this coming week for what we call a World Week of Prayer. And the first time this is happening is tonight at St. Raphael's Church over on New Street, and it'll be an ecumenical service. We'll be hosting one of the prayer nights here on January 21st, and the services are only about a half an hour at the most, and it's just a time to get together and meet other Christians in our community and pray together. And I really want to encourage you to, if you can, to tonight to come to St. Raphael's and participate in this service. And again, it's a chance to meet other Christians and pray together, and I really encourage you to try to find the time for that. Now, every night in the next week, from Monday till Monday, will be services and rotating around the different churches. And again, I'll have that scheduled for you for next week. I think I posted some of that in the newsletter I sent out. So again, please consider that. Let's take a moment now to prepare our hearts for worship. We light the Christ candle this morning as a symbol of Christ's presence in worship with us this day.
The response to call to worship is which is in the The one who called you together this day yearns for each of you and for all people to hear and be blessed. Blessed is the one who comes bringing trustworthy words for the healing of the world. Our first hymn is Guide Me, O Thy Great Redeemer, number 651.
today we'll be talking quite a bit about listening for God's voice through prayer and meditation and scripture. And we can be assured that the one who calls us is also able to hear us and hears the confessions of our heart through prayer and allows forgiveness through Christ. Let's bow our heads in prayer. You invite us, O God, to live in your ways, and you give each of us one another to know, and you give us ways to understand and to love as we journey through this life. Show us your will for all creation, Lord, as we move through life and listening for your word. Help us truly to listen to your urgings with prayerful hearts so that we may honor what you have made and what you've called us to do. Holy God, we come before you as well this morning because you see each of us and you know completely who we are, and we are creatures in need of your constant care. And Lord, we've come to this morning at this particular time to confess that there are times when we have failed to hear you and we failed to follow your will. And by doing so, Lord, we're failing you clearly, but we're also failing our neighbors and our families and our friends and ourselves in so many ways. When we choose not to listen to you, Lord, and to go our own way, and we stray from that path you call us to. And so, Lord, give us the spiritual ears that we need to hear your wisdom and come before you and hear your voice, because in your voice there is healing, and in your voice there is forgiveness through Christ. Lord, we thank you that we can come before you at times such as this on a Sunday morning to take a moment and consider the things that you've called us to do and we've fallen short of. And we thank you, Lord, that you do truly forgive us in Christ. And now, Lord, we come before you and we pray the prayer that Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. As we're going to read in the psalm today, God truly does know the hearts of those who seek forgiveness, and by his grace we all have been saved. And in Jesus' name we are all forgiven. Our sins are no more in that sense. Christ has made us clean. God strengthens us with the freedom of the Holy Spirit in Christ Jesus. Amen. Wow, that's very appropriate for today. Thank you for that, choir. Let's join together now in our children's hymn number 570, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus, verses 1 and 2, and at the during the second verse, while the children come forward for a time together. 570, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. How are you today? Yeah, you're all right. You know, I wanted to read a little verse to you from the Bible, and it comes from the Gospel of John. We're going to read this with the grown-ups a bit later in more detail. But a man named Philip found another man, went to visit another man looking for him, and his name was Nate, or Nathaniel, but yeah, I guess Nate, and told him, you know what? We found somebody that was written about a long time ago, that lots of people talked about, and his name is Jesus. He's from Nazareth. That's the town that he came from. He's the son of a guy named Joseph. And Nathaniel said, Nazareth? You said he came from Nazareth? And nothing good can come from that town. It's a nothing town. How can somebody important come from that town? And then Philip said, come and see, and we're going to meet him. You know, when something exciting happens in our life, we have a special gift. And that gift is we can talk. So if something exciting happens in our life, we can tell everybody else about it. And we just had Christmas come by just a few weeks ago, and lots of neat things happened at Christmas time. We got presents, and we got food, and all that sort of stuff. And we met probably some family members and that sort of thing, and did some visiting. And, when you get a nice present, you know, I brought one in here, my funny hat, the other week, remember? With my Santa legs sticking up in the air. And I wanted to tell somebody about that. I told you guys about it. And I told you that somebody special gave that to me. I was excited. Did you have anything happen exciting this week? Anything happen with you guys? Yeah, I know you guys would have something to say. Good. Yep.
Yesterday I finished one of the biggest stuff of all time.
The biggest what? A puzzle?
Legos.
Wow. Over 1,000 pieces. You finished all by yourself?
Yeah.
Yeah, wow, that's a good job. See? What were you building in Lego?
Oh, my dad helped me build
Star Wars.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. The Y Wing. Oh yes. Okay. Very cool. See, it's nice to tell people something that's happening. And get excited about that. And that's what Philip and Nate were doing with one another. The problem was that Nate, he didn't think anything good could come from what he was doing. So it would be like, you said you built all this stuff in Lego, and I would say, it's just Lego. But it was fun to do, wasn't it? It was exciting, and he liked to tell those stories. Well, that's what's nice about telling people stories of things that have happened in our lives. And Jesus is something that's very important and exciting in our lives. And that's kind of why we're here on Sunday mornings, because we like to talk about him and talk about what he's done for us in our lives. Let's have a little prayer together, okay? Okay. Lord, we thank you for these boys and girls, and we ask a blessing on them, and that exciting things can happen in their lives, and that you can speak to them through lessons like this and Sunday school. Be with them, Lord, this day. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Off to Sunday school, and we'll sing the last two verses of our hymn, Seated.
Come with me.
As we prepare this morning to have God speak to us through Scripture, let's take a moment and bow our heads in prayer. Holy Spirit, we invite you to open our ears, spiritually speaking, and our eyes and our hearts and our minds, so that your word can truly come to life to rule within us. And we pray this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Our responsive psalm is Psalm 139, and as you know, I generally follow the lectionary that gives an outline of readings throughout a three-year cycle. And in Psalm 139, there was just a small section they were going to read, and I thought, no, this is a good psalm that describes something very important in our lives. So reading the entire psalm, it's not that long, but it's a psalm that is a prayer. And I say this often as I've introduced psalms, that they're pieces of poetry and prose that express the human condition. And this is one of those psalms that is written in prose, so to speak, but it's expressing something deep within our soul. It's an understanding that God has of us and we have of God. God knows everything about us because God knew us before we were even flesh and blood. Let's read Psalm 139 responsibly.
Psalm 139. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from far away.
You search out my mouth and my mind down. There are things in all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it immediately.
You hem me in behind and before, and lay your hand. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? Surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light around me become night.
Even the darkness is not dark to you, and the night is as bright as the day, for darkness is a light to you.
For it was you who have formed my inward birth. You knit me together in my mother's womb.
I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works.
Final comment I'll make on that psalm is that sections were from verse 19 to 22, and it's talking about the wicked and they. It really is talking about evil in the world, that we are, because we love God and are a part of God, the evil that's in the world is what we're opposed to, and that's what's being expressed in that particular psalm. And God knows everything even before, as it says there, even before we utter the word, he hears it. That's something to keep in mind when we view our prayers of the people. And Maybe you don't say a name out loud, but you're thinking that name. God hears that name too, because even before the word is formed, he hears it and carries it. Our Old Testament reading is found in 1 Samuel 3, verses 1 to 20, and that's on page 274 of the Old Testament portion of your pew Bibles. And this takes place at a point of transition that's taking place. Prior to or up to this point, we have had judges ruling the children of Israel. And there's many judges that are written about. In fact, the book of Judges talks a lot about that. And they made decisions for the children of Israel as they were settling in, but times were changing, and God was going to bring a king. But in order to do that, he had to get things put in place, and one of those things was the story that we're going to read here about Samuel. And it's interesting to keep in mind that Eli was part of a large family that worked in the temple at the time, and the temple at the time, and they were not doing a good job, generally speaking, as the leaders of their sort of their faith. And this is a lead up to the story of Saul and David is what's going to take place here. But we need a prophet put in place, and as we will see, there's not a lot going on, prophetically in that sense. So people are not used to hearing God's voice. And this is a good story of listening for God and speaking with God. And I'll read 1 Samuel 3, beginning at verse 1. Now, the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his room. The lamp of God had not gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. And then the Lord called, "Samuel, Samuel." And he said, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. The Lord called again, "Samuel." Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel again a third time, and he got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go, lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood there, calling as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Then the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make both ears of anyone who hears of it tingle. On that day I will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. For I have told him that I am about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew, because his sons were blaspheming God, and he did not restrain them. Therefore I swear to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be expiated by sacrifice or offering forever." Samuel lay there until morning, and he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. Samuel was afraid to tell a vision to Eli. But Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." He said, "Here I am." Eli said, "What was it that he told you? Do not hide it from me. May God do so to you and more also if you hide anything from me of all that he told you." So Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. And he said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." As Samuel grew up, the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel was a trustworthy prophet of the Lord. Our New Testament reading is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 12 to 20. And Paul is addressing some concerns that he's been written to about the church in Corinth. One of the problems that's been going on is this idea of freedom. And Paul is addressing this issue because what's been happening, as we read earlier in Corinthians, people have been eating food that's been sacrificed to other gods. And some of the Christians are saying, well, you can't do that. That's been dedicated to something other than our religion, and you can't eat that food. And other Christians that are eating this food are saying, well, it's just food. It doesn't make any difference. There is only one God, the God we worship, so it doesn't matter. And it's creating a division within the congregation. It's also important to understand that Paul is introducing for us a concept that often gets misplaced or overlooked. We tend to separate ourselves when we talk about body, spirit, and mind. Paul doesn't see the three. Paul sees us as one unit, described in three ways maybe, but as one. Our body, our soul, and our mind, we're just one entity. And he's trying to discuss that. And so what we do spiritually affects us physically. What we do physically affects us spiritually because they're interconnected in that oneness. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 12. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are beneficial. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be dominated by anything. Food is meant for the stomach, and the stomach for food. And God will destroy both one and the other. The body is meant not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God raised the Lord and will also raise us by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Should I therefore take members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never. Do you not know that whoever is united to a prostitute becomes one body with her? For it is said, the two shall be one flesh. But anyone united to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Shun fornication. Every sin that a person commits is outside the body, but the fornicator sins against the body itself. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, which you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Our gospel reading is taken from John chapter 1, 43 to 51, page 92 in your pew Bibles. And it's a recounting the story that I've talked briefly with the children this morning. And it's this Nathaniel and Philip encounter. And Nathaniel just can't believe that the Messiah, which is what Philip's saying, that the Messiah is going to come from some no place town like Nazareth. And Nazareth is a village of about maybe 400 people at the most. And it's like several other villages in that area. It was economically dependent on a larger city further away that was the capital of Galilee in those first years. So it was just a little town. It had no there was nothing written about it prophetically. And it was nothing, it didn't do anything important in that respect. And the perception that was going around at the time was that the Messiah would come from a grand line and come from a grand place and be big in that sense. And the idea that he comes from Nazareth was just beyond them. But Nathanael changes his mind when he meets Jesus. John 1, beginning at verse 43. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" And Philip said to him, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you get to know me?" Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under a fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." This is the word of God. Join together now in our next hymn, "I'm Going to Live So God Can Use Me," number 648. Very often we, over the years, have experienced the process of taking a book and turning it into a movie. And very often we're let down because the movie is not as good as the book. In 1972, there was a book that was written by Richard Bach called Jonathan Livingston Seagull. You may remember that title, some of you. And in this particular case, the movie was not better than the book because the book wasn't all that great to start with, but it was a bestseller nonetheless. And a very short sort of analogy about this seagull that was experiencing, how's it worded here? Learning about life and flight. It was a homily about self-perfection. And I did have a copy of the book at one time, and I did sort of see some of the movie. I actually turned it off years back. But there's a quote from that book that I think is appropriate for some of the things that we've been reading today. Don't believe what your eyes are telling you. All they show you is limitation. Look with your understanding. Find out what you already know, and you will see the way to fly. And it's an interesting quote, and I want to discuss this in light of some of the things that we've read this morning. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, we all know that sometimes it's very hard to spiritually see and hear what you want of us, both as individuals and as a group or a congregation. We pray, Lord, you help us to learn this morning that what it is to listen for your direction and your voice. Heavenly Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my mind and the utterings of my heart be guided by you and acceptable to you this day. And I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Scriptures that we read today are an important aspect of how God knows us. Certainly in the psalm that we read this morning, it's talking about God knows us before we were made. God knows what we're thinking before we even think it. And God knows the words that are going to come out of our mouth even before we realize they're coming out of our mouth. And sometimes I wish God would stop my mouth before it got going, but that's a whole other thing. You had those moments when there's words going out and it's like, is that me talking? Yes, that is me talking. Stop. Anyway, the word of the Lord was rare in the days of Samuel. And that means God speaking to people as individuals. So when God called Samuel, he didn't think it was God. He thought it was the guy he was working for. He thought it was his boss, Eli. And that'd be a natural occurrence. I think that we would experience a similar thing today. You know, if you were in the house and you heard somebody call out your name, you'd go looking for whoever else lives in the house, not necessarily looking for God, because that's just not something that we experience in our time as well. And the same kind of idea is coming when we read the gospel story. You know, when Philip says to Nathanael, the Messiah, the one we've been expecting, is coming from Nazareth, it wasn't where he was expecting Nathanael. Because what good can come out of Nazareth? There's nothing important about it. God can't come from there. What I wanted to address is, as I said, is prayer. And how do we pray? And how do we listen to God's voice or for God's voice? It's difficult to understand the nature of prayer itself. If we take a closer look at these stories, these particular stories are saying the opposite in first encounter, opposite to what that psalm, that prayer in that psalm is. The prayer in the psalm is telling us that God knows everything about us, God listens to us, and God is there ready to answer anything we have because God created us from the very beginning. In Samuel's case, there's no way God could be speaking to him because, A, he's a boy, and, you know, he's too young to really understand the concept of that. And in the story with, I guess I said, with Philip and Nathanael, they already had preconceived notions. Nothing good can come out of Nazareth, therefore the Messiah can't come from there. But very often when we consider prayer, God speaks to us in ways that we don't expect. God's voice is in places maybe that we aren't always expecting. Prayer is a difficult one. Like, it's almost in the same category for me, for our understanding and the baggage associated with it, as the word sin. And now I talk about that a lot from the pulpit here. When this three-letter word, sin, and we say that, and everybody thinks all what everybody thinks about that, all the baggage that's associated with that. Mostly, it says something about, it's interpreted as being something about my character. To be a sinner is to have bad character, therefore it makes me a bad person. It's clear in Scripture that it's talking about our actions and where they come from, not about your character so much. Prayer is similar with baggage. When we say prayer, we often think, well, I guess I'm supposed to be on my knees, because that's the picture I know in my mind anyway, the little kid beside the bed, hands folded together, you know, eyes closed, peeking maybe, but like this. And that's what we mean by prayer. But in these particular cases we read this morning, God spoke to two people in ways that they didn't expect. Samuel didn't expect to actually physically hear God's voice. Nathanael, there was no way that something of God was going to come out of a nothing town. And yet, Samuel did hear God's voice. And yet, Nathanael did find that something good did come from this small town. Prayer's like that for us, I believe. Prayer needs to be coming from the unexpected places. And the nature of prayer is not necessarily just getting on your knees and closing your eyes and folding your hands, although there's nothing wrong with doing that, because it does cause us to pause. But prayer can happen when you're driving the car. My wife prays all the time when I drive the car. Seriously. We've been driving the car, we can be praying. Even going for a walk in the mall or in the forest, we can be praying. We can be hearing God speak to us in unexpected places and in unexpected ways. I think that what we need to be doing, like Samuel had to learn and Nathanael had to learn, is that God will speak to us at any moment and any time, and we need to be prepared for that. So that even the oddest sort of situation, God can still speak to us. We don't have to be on our knees folding our hands. We can just be driving our car or walking down the street or in a conversation with somebody or working in the garden or at our jobs doing whatever we're doing, and God can speak to us. But we need to be ready for that to happen. We need to be ready to accept that God can speak to us in very different circumstances. And it's important to see that, and here's a quote from a book that I've been looking at. Countless people pray far more than they know. Often they have such a stained glass image of prayer, and that's that bowing the head and folding the hands, that they fail to recognize what they're experiencing as prayer, and then so condemn themselves for not praying. So what that quote is saying is that unless we do this, we're not praying. So unless I do this, bow my head, close my eyes, fold my hands, if I don't do that, that doesn't count as anything else doesn't count as prayer. And God in the scriptures today is telling us, I believe, very clearly that you don't have to do anything in particular to be praying. You just have to be thinking about, where is God's voice coming from? And am I prepared to hear it? Over the next while, especially as we move towards Lent, and yes, that's coming around the corner very, very quickly, I want us to be considering prayer and what it is to pray and what prayer maybe looks like. I think I said a couple of weeks back, it's easy to look at, say, the Catholics and the Anglicans and Jews and Muslims and say, well, they got prayer down pretty good because they take time in their day to formally do that. And that's a good thing. It's a very good thing. It's something that we lack in the Reformed tradition of our churches. We don't even formally take any time to pray other than here on a Sunday morning. But the others that I just named take time every day to do that. The problem with that, though, is it becomes rote and just becomes what you do, like anything else. I'm going to go jogging, or I'm going to, you know, wash my hands. Like, it's just part of the daily routine, and it's losing the meaning. I want us to understand that we need to be praying more often. We need to be understanding that prayer can take on different forms so we can hear God's voice. And I'll quote that once again from Jonathan Livingston Seagull. Don't believe what your eyes are telling you. All they show is limitation. Look with your understanding. Find out what you already know, and you will see the way to, in this case, pray. Fly is the word that's in that quote, but pray. Don't believe what your eyes are telling you. Nathaniel had to do that. All they show is limitation. We bring with us, when we say prayer, a limitation, whatever that may be for you. Look with your understanding. Look at what Scripture tells us. Find out what you already know, and you will see the way to pray. Thanks be to God as we move forward in this way. Amen. Jesus promised that you and I will come to see heaven open and angels dancing in splendor, as he said to Nathaniel. Our offerings are a thanksgiving for these gifts that God gives us. Now open our hearts and share our offering and tithes that the church's work may be made strong for the sake of the needy in this world. Lord, we thank you for the blessings that you bestow upon us through our hard work and jobs that we're able to have and income. And this is an offering, Lord, that we're presenting from that effort and those blessings you give us. And we ask that you will bless this offering, Lord, that it can do great work in your world. And that this congregation is doing so much in our community that this is how we are able, one of the ways that we're able to do this. We thank you, Lord, and we ask this blessing in Christ's name. Amen. Please be seated. The flowers in the sanctuary this morning have been placed by Dorothy Dickerson and family in loving memory of husband and father, Gordon Dickerson, and they're there. And we have two other flowers here today, too. Don and Earl of Cottingham, our great-grandparents, Jack Earl Clark, you can see in was born on November 9, and we're celebrating that. And Sandra Henderson is a grandmother. Sandra, you're there. And I'm not going to try that last name. I'm going to say Finn Shadwick, and you can figure the last name out because I'll destroy it if I try. Yeah. But we are offering these flowers to them in this tradition we have in the celebration, and we offer prayers for these families. And we continue to pray for people in our congregation who are dealing with matters. And sometimes some of the things that are going on are not with the individual, but someone in their family or their life. And so we pray for continued strength and encouragement for the people that are being the caregivers, so to speak. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, we thank you that we can come before you week to week on a day such as this, and we can be praying for new life that's been brought into this world, Jack and Finn in particular, as we mentioned. And we thank you for lives that have been lived well in the past, and Gord Dickerson is one person that we keep in mind, and his family. His legacy lives on, and these two new lives are bringing a legacy forward with them. So we pray a blessing on all of them. Lord, we pray for our congregation as we try in the next little while to understand what it is to be praying and what it is to be speaking to you and what it is to be listening for you, that we can continue, Lord, to be the light on this corner, in our little corner in our community here, a light that shines the light of Jesus, a light that is making a difference in people's lives, not only people here, but the people that we know. And as I say every week, everybody in this room has 6 degrees of separation in that sense. So we know a lot of people. Everybody here is connected to lots of people. Some of those people are in very much need of prayer, and we'll take a moment and name some of those names. But we all have an influence on many people in our circle. Help us to be that light for those that don't know you, for those that are struggling to know you, for those that are trying to understand what it is to follow you. Help us, Lord, to help them. And Lord, as we take a moment now and we offer names of people in our lives who need prayer, whatever it may be, we offer their first name up to you, and you know what's going on, just as we read in that psalm. You know what's going on in their life, even though we may not. And we take that moment now to offer these names to you. Lord, we thank you for these names that have been uttered, for the names that have been said in silence, and for the names that maybe you didn't even get into our minds, but you know they're there. Names that may come to us later on today. Oh, I should have said that person. I forgot. You know those people, Lord. You hear all that we think and all that we say, and as it says in that psalm, even before the words are in our mouth, you already know them. We thank you, Lord, for this act of faithfulness that goes on in this church, for the intercession that's taking place, and the work that you're doing in these lives. We thank you, Lord, that you receive our prayers. You do. And you do grant our answers to our prayers when we see this, when you see the need that's there. And we thank you, Lord, and we offer this all in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Join together in our final hymn this morning, Forth in Thy Name I Go, number 652. Forth in Thy Name, O Lord, I go. prayer, like most things in our lives, takes practice to get perfect and better at it. And as you move through this week, practice listening for the word of the Lord as you move through your days. Trust that the Holy Spirit will guide your choices and guide that listening ear. And as you meet people in your life, see each person you meet as someone who Jesus gave his life for, someone who needs him in their life, and someone who you can change through that prayer and that encounter. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may God give you his peace in your going out and your coming in your lying down and your rising up, in your labor and your leisure, in your laughter and in your tears, until you come to stand before Jesus in that day in which there is no sunset and no dawning. Amen.